Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You're going to let that fade all the way out, aren't you?
It's pretty good.
Who was that?
That's Franco Falsini. He's going to be on live today. He's on his way in.
Awesome.
Part of the Sensations Fix Music is Painting in the Air collection.
He's on European time.
Yeah.
Right?
He's on super European time.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I mean, he's like a early 60s like legend. He can be on any
time. He's on legend time.
We also have Matt from RVNG who's going to be joining us in the studio. Yeah, August.
Muggy. Big shout out to everyone who came out for our first annual Food and Music Festival in San Francisco, Noisette, Noise Pop, all the chefs, everyone. Too many to name. I got back late last night, and it was a blast. You were missed, my friend.
Yeah, I work sometimes outweighs fun.
It was good. Shout out also to Jason Fox and the whole team at Commonwealth who destroyed me on Friday night. Put up the white flag. And I was like, I can't eat dessert, and then they sent out dessert anyway.
No, this is good. Keep going.
No, it's just what you know how that goes, right?
Yeah, you ask, you say no thanks, please no more, and it's like that's just asking for more.
We have Max Sussman in studio with us of the Sussman Brothers, and I have to
Before we get into that, I want to ask, like, you know, when you go out, that's what I was going to ask.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to ask it.
Twins. So when you go out and you know that you know the chef might know you, sometimes I don't know how to handle it, where you're just like, you want to order enough, like, you're not expecting something, because it would be rude to expect something, but then you don't also want to over-order.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. What's the etiquette, or what is, as a chef, what
well,
is
it? Well, I tend to over-order and over-eat when I go out, so yes. I kind of just think about, let's take it down, like, one notch.
Yeah. I try and order, especially with small plates, I'll try and order two less things that I want to order, because I assume that,
yeah,
not that it's going to be free, but they'll send some stuff out anyway just for them to try because they're excited.
Yeah, they want to do it.
They want to do it.
You kind of want to let them.
But I also felt that if you under-ordered, it would be like a signal that you're expecting something, and that would be rude.
I hate that. When you see a ticket and it's like, oh, come on, like, you're just asking for it. You know, like,
and then you won't send.
They under order, and it's like, oh, well, I guess that's all you wanted to eat.
Yeah, is that it?
So that's all you're going to get.
There's four of you, two apps, and entree. Cool.
Yeah.
I would say.
Guess you're not hungry.
I think I was by myself and ordered an appetizer and two entrees. And then, like, on Friday, and then they wound up sending, I don't
you're
know.
You're looking very svelte these days.
God. It was really good. Jason uses the best of molecular gastronomy with an approachable cuisine. So it's like, oh, it's like, we're just going to cook the fish sous vide because I don't have to pay a guy to cook fish all night. You know?
Was it good?
It was so good.
Amazing.
The best dish I had was one of the best poultry dishes. It was hen three ways, sous vide and whey. Then they debone the thigh to make meatballs. They serve you the breast. And then they take the skin, leave a bunch of the fat on, and cook it like cracklings.
Oh, wow.
Butter, salt.
I love just crispy fried chicken skin. Gets me every time.
So, if you haven't figured out, Max is a chef, an up-and-coming chef. You have gotten quite a few awards in the last 30 under 30 from Zagat and Food & Wine and
Forbes.
Forbes, my fault. Forbes and Rising Chef and all that stuff.
It's been a pretty fun year.
It's been a fun year, and unfortunately, your brother couldn't make it, as sometimes partnered brothers have to cover for each other. But big shout-out to Eli, who I think is in line at the DMV.
That's true,
yeah, right?
So hopefully he'll have a really great morning, really productive, inspiring, you know.
So who are the Sussman Brothers? Who are you guys?
Who are the Sussman Brothers?
Yeah.
Well, we're two brothers, obviously. We're both from Michigan.
Oh, go on. Thank you.
Our last name is Sussman.
Open strong.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. No. Well, we grew up in Michigan from a culinary family that is... We've always grew up around food and
Ann Arbor.
I lived in Ann Arbor for a while, but we both grew up outside of Detroit.
Okay,
like just outside, just north.
Awesome.
So if you know the area, a little town called Huntington Woods, and I started cooking at our childhood summer camp after going there summer after summer. Instead of being a counselor, I ended up being the chef there. It was a long story short.
Jewish camp?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I too worked in a camp. I was the I ran a like a kibbutz.
It was kibbutz stuff. Style.
Yeah, and camp. Then I was a pot washer in the bigger kitchen. I started at the very bottom, which I learned that pot washing is the lowest of the low.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks. It sucks. You ever try and scrub,
especially at like a summer camp cafeteria?
Well, you know, like we'd do the chol and sit on the pots all night from Friday to Saturday morning.
Yeah, and I was like a bad cook, so I burned everything.
When did you realize that you wanted to cook? Was it while you were still being a bad cook?
it was definitely a drive to get better. I mean, there are different points where I kind of like dedicated myself to it and decided it was something I really wanted to do. But I mean, that was the first time I realized it was I had a really fun thing to do, and I had a blast.
Yeah.
And I kept wanting to do it. Just, it was fun. A few years later, I got a job at a restaurant in Michigan called Eve that was actually not a summer camp. It was a nice restaurant. Really high class.
And how did you trick them? What did you...
I guess I just went in there and, I don't know, pretended I knew what I was doing, knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And when I started there, it was like, all right, this is serious. I really want to do this. You know, you got to give up a lot, sacrifice a lot, and it was worth it.
And what year was this? When was this?
That was in probably 19... It was probably around 2003.
Okay.
Yeah.
So chef was definitely taking a turn to the respected profession.
At that time.
At that time.
Yeah.
It was
actually, she ended up on Top Chef, and that was kind of like a huge deal for the restaurant when I was there. She disappeared for 2 months, and it was this mysterious thing. Nobody knew why. And
no one knew?
Well, it was kind of like you have to sign things. And also, back then, it was like more secretive.
I feel like for Top Chef now, people pretty much know when you go on.
People know when you go on, and also like people know the results a little bit more. I think they were like a lot more secretive back then.
So what did you learn in that kitchen? What made you go from Jewish summer camp to Eve to saying, I'm going to come to the most competitive food city in the world of New York and really make a go of it? And where does your brother play into this as well?
So, I mean, for me personally, that was... I just couldn't get enough. Like, once I started there and I, like, wanted to learn more from her, I wanted to learn more from everybody else around me, and I loved it. So from there, I mean, I learned a lot of the most basic stuff that a lot of people take for granted, but like how to taste something and how to really like taste it slowly and think about what the beginning, the middle, and the end of what the beginning, the middle, the end tastes like, what the finish is, and how to like adjust food and seasoning and stuff like that.
Can you give us an example with the dish? Because I think that's something really important that we don't get into enough of, just the tasting moments and learning how to taste. Because I feel people are so afraid to say what they're tasting. Might they be wrong?
Yeah. Well, so this is like funny because we had this dish on the menu that was like, everybody loved it. It was mussels with curry cream sauce.
Can't go wrong.
Really, really good. But it was pretty spicy, and it had cream, and it was really salty and a little bit sweet. So everything had to be really balanced, or it just kind of tasted weird and a little bit gross because it was just a lot of everything. So it had to be in really good balance. And I was tasting it with, I remember tasting it with her, and she would always like take a little teaspoon and eat a little bit and just tell me what it needed. And I was like, wow, how can you tell that? And, you know, after a while, I started to develop my palate and figure it out. And then I was running the kitchen like 2 years later, and somebody made it. And they were like, I was like, it needs a little bit more, you know, salt. And then they looked back at the recipe and they were like, oh, the recipe was wrong. It actually had needed it. Like, they forgot to put it in.
Wow.
So it was like this thing that had come full circle, and it was kind of cool. And then he actually just emailed me and he was like, I remember this story.
I mean, but isn't it just kind of like anything, you know, I mean, if you do something long enough, you'll just know inherently like when it's wrong or when it's...
After a while, I think it just becomes like a part of you and you just...
I mean, I'm not, in no way am I a chef or anything like that, but just from eating out enough, I was at some restaurant like a couple weeks ago and I was like, this is just wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could, you could probably more eloquently be like, well, it's wrong because that's why.
And here's why.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's definitely what we do, like, especially in the book, we try to make people kind of get that attitude. Like, it's like, we don't just want people to just follow the recipes and kind of blindly follow them and not think about what they're doing. So there's stuff, you know, every time we talk about how to do something, we usually talk about why. So that you can kind of get to that point where you taste something and you kind of just know, and you can take a recipe and run with it and just take an idea.
Awesome. Well, the cookbook is, this is a cookbook, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about you and your brother making your move to New York, working together, and this awesome cookbook that I'm holding in my hand. A lot of food porn, a lot of babes. I have really no problem.
How
with
can you go wrong?
You can't go wrong. We got one half of the Sussman brothers, Max Sussman, who thankfully dipped off the line during lunch service.
I hope everything's okay.
Hope everything's okay.
Temples that I built for you, and I sang songs of praise and love, and up. I sang songs of burying you alive, and up. See, I had to change. if I try. I'm sifting through my memories, but I can't find a recollection worth the worship that weighs me down and drags me to the
We have Max Sussman, one half of the Sussman Brothers.
Hello.
Who are the... Oh, we already asked that question. Yeah.
You got a really so, great answer, right?
So you and your brother are in... Is he in Ann Arbor with you?
He was in Lansing.
He was in Lansing.
It's like a lot of Michigan geography lesson here.
Yeah, yeah. And so then, did you guys decide to move out to New York together?
We didn't move out together. He moved to LA for a while and did some advertising jobs. Always stayed involved in food, doing a lot of catering stuff, doing, you know, trails and stages on the weekends. But I was staying in Ann Arbor, working at Eve and some other places. And then I moved here about 2.5 years ago. And we started talking about this book project. And I basically told him, you don't like advertising. You don't really like what you're doing. Why don't you just quit and move here?
He was a younger brother, right?
Yeah.
Boom.
And he was, you know...
You're 6 minutes older.
Same thing.
Still older brother. Matter. Can I get a high five on that? Older brother. You don't understand. It's an older brother thing.
So he was, you know, that's what I said. I said, just do that, move. If you're not happy, go back and work in advertising again. And that's, and he
moved
here.
But you know I'm right.
But you know I'm right. So just do it.
Yeah.
I'm hanging up the phone now.
You guys live together?
Yeah.
Brothers, living together. Living together and working together. Your parents proud?
Yeah, they're really stoked.
They're super stoked.
Yeah. They're like, why don't you tell us everything that's going on? Like, let us know the dates and all the time.
How often do you have to call your parents?
Well, my mom called me today, so.
Okay. What's the time frame you have to call her back?
I have usually about like 2.5 minutes, and then like the next text message comes.
Yeah.
And like if the computer's open, then I get all these chats. You know. It's,
yeah. All right. Just checking in. She's just a loving mother.
Nothing to complain about.
Yeah, so, who wants to do a round of "Hey Mom, I love you"?
Hey Mom, I love you.
Mom, I love you.
So you're working at Roberta. How did you get into Roberta's?
I came by one day and thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. So
it
I
is.
I could work here.
And how did
I've been there ever since?
And Eli's over at Mile End, another favorites of Snacky Tunes.
Yeah, Eli's over at Mile End. I actually helped get him hooked up there, and he was working there for free for a while. And then they smartly decided to offer him some paid employment.
They're doing such awesome food there.
Yeah, the food's amazing, and the sandwich shop in the city's amazing. And I was thinking about going there for dinner tonight, as a matter of fact.
So you're spinning your wheels on this book project. And when did the wheels finally hit the ground and it started to become a real thing?
Well, we started writing it officially last summer. And it was pretty, what you might call, one of the most exhausting experiences. Because we were both working all the time and then trying to fit in recipe testing and all this other writing and R&D and the ideas and putting it all together at the same time. So it took
Babe sourcing.
Turnaround time was like not very long from when it was like, all right, let's do this to.
So talk, can you, for those who've never pitched a cookbook, because I'm sure there's a ton of listeners who are like, oh, I have 50 recipes of my own, I want to do this. What's the short and sweet of coming up with the concept and pitching it?
Well, you really need to figure out what you're trying to say and who you're trying to say it to, because ultimately that's kind of like what the publishers care about, is like, what do you bring into the table that's different? So for us, it's like, we wanted to write a book for our, basically short versions for our friends, people who are our age, who want to know more about food, but aren't chefs, but people who are in the food world or just like food, like going out to eat and like cooking, and they kind of want to take their cooking skills at home to the next level.
I mean, going through this book, there's a lot of recipes, like the pulled pork and the, you know, the chicken adobo and the wild mushrooms and just like the roasted vegetables and all this stuff. It's stuff that I know that I cook and a lot of my friends cook, that we all have our variations of it.
Right.
But it's definitely one of the thing I like about this book. It's like, sometimes like, wait, what's the temperature and what's the length? Like,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of really good stuff, and it's fun with the, tell us about the illustrations and sort of the design of the book, because it's not your very classic book.
Well, for us, like, we wanted the book to work for people of different skill sets and different levels of experience. So like what you're talking about, some people are going to look at it and be like, okay, I just needed the time and temp. Like, what do they say to do this? Some people are going to be like, I just need ideas of ingredients. We're going to look at that. And some people will probably follow it step by step by step.
I think I'm more of the latter, just on some of those things. I was like, oh, I've always wanted to make this. This is kind of...
like the butter poached fish. I've never...
And you're a lot of your brunch dishes.
Yeah.
Because you do,
that's like a really fun chapter.
The thing about brunch dishes, I always find it's like, I don't even know where to start on a lot of cookbook. Like the old, like Joy of Cooking and all those. Like they have... or Bittman's, like, how to cook everything. It's, like, it's all nestled in there.
Right.
But there's, like, come on, I just, like, I want to make something more than, like, a scramble or something like that.
Yeah, picking out just the chapters was fun, because it was, like...
yeah, let's talk about the night.
It's not all seasons. It's, like, the two seasons that we wanted to cook for. It's not all kinds of meals.
No.
Just, like, the ones that we really wanted to put
out
there.
And what about the night in section about how to cook and get laid?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, let's not be uncouth here, but...
no, it's not... but, I mean, that is definitely... especially
you remember that website Cook to Bang? Like, no,
I never saw that.
It was like a few years ago, where, I mean, the title speaks for itself. It was like,
yeah, that's,
and it's like, it had like aphrodisiac level and like ease level and things like that. So yeah.
I mean,
Joe, is that up there? Does that still exist, Cook to Bang? If it is, we should throw the link up.
I'll definitely look for it.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
I mean, everyone, you know, I think you just put the effort out there, and that's the main thing. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think it's all about effort. I think it's very easy to and of course you can totally romance someone out at dinner, but to take them home and
you don't have to worry about getting them back there.
Yeah, you're already there.
come on, can we just please?
I think so. So when you're writing a book like this and cooking like this, how much did a music play a part of this? You know, what were you listening to get you inspired, or during the writing and cooking process?
I mean, we listen to a lot of stuff. We actually have, as part of the digital book that's coming out, there's going to be like playlists that are tied to it. So we're going to be able to, if you buy the digital book and check it out on your iPad, there'll be like links to our cooking playlists, which are like, it's pretty hard to pick 25 songs because it's like,
oh my God,
hundreds of songs that
you listen, albums,
know? Especially like in a kitchen, in a restaurant, it's just, if you're listening to music, 25 songs goes by pretty fast. But yeah.
But name a few. Who are you listening to? What's going to be included?
Well,
who do you like to listen to?
Well, I like to listen to... I usually like to listen to like a lot of pretty amped up disco and 90s dance music right now. Is kind of where my head's at in the kitchen.
Some house music.
Yeah, some house music and just some like early proto hip house and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. Ace of Bass.
I think one of the more surprising things about this book, and knowing you guys and definitely seeing the crossover from the Brooklyn scene out into like a bit of the mainstream, is that you teamed with Williams-Sonoma for this.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that you, I mean, I think you said there's going to be demos in the store and like it's.
Yeah. So they're like, they're really behind the book. One of the main people who actually hooked us up with the publishers is one of their higher ups. So we worked with her to kind of plan out all the stuff that they're doing. So there's going to be a cookbook class coming up in pretty much every Williams-Sonoma across the country. They're going to be cooking four recipes. The corn soup is one of them, and a few other ones. So that's up on their website. But we're going to be doing a signing there later this month at the Columbus Circle. store. So that'll be a lot of fun.
And if you can't wait to that, you can see you cooking at Roberta's and Eli cooking over at Mile End.
Or Eli's at Mile End. We're both,
Stick your head in the back.
Just stick your head in the back. Well, just
come and say hi.
And finally, what's your favorite recipe in this book?
Right now, it changes a lot, but I really like the grilled peach salad recipe. I just love the way it turned out. It started off, we were trying to figure out a dessert, and we just kept changing ingredients and taking one thing out and putting one thing in, and we ended up with this salad that is a grilled peach salad with radicchio and ricotta, and it ended up being a savory dish. And it kind of, I like how it turned from one thing into another, and it's kind of like when you just let the idea happen and you don't try to like force it into one thing, something else cool can happen.
Last question. Aaron wanted to ask you about goat.
Let's talk about goat.
Yeah, let's talk about goat.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. That's what she said.
She said, ask him about goat.
Well, we did a goat dinner here. Could that have been it?
Yeah, okay, and probably the upcoming pork dinner on August 20th.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one.
So I have to get my ticket.
If everyone who's listening should definitely go to the Roberta's website. We've done 3 of the 4 garden dinners that we're doing here, each around a different animal. So we did goat, we did lamb, we did seafood, which I know is not animal, but whatever. And now we're doing pig. It's going to be on August 20th. The goat dinner was awesome. We did a goat sausage and a goat rillette. And the pig dinner, hopefully the menu will be up in a week or so.
By the way, none of my friends are free to come, so I'm going to be there by myself. So if anybody wants to come and hang out with me.
Probacito Gregorio.
Yeah.
Solamente.
It's a sick deal. Come by yourself. Come with others.
It's all 3 hours of wine.
So, yeah. It's and it's tip and tax and all that stuff that usually you end up not thinking about. It's all there. So
amazing. So the book is, this is a cookbook, Max and Eli Sussman. I see the older brother got listed first. I'm just saying.
That's on the side it's one and on the front it's the other. So we tried to.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I think he got the little
one. Oh, they just, though. Your order of crow just came up, Darren.
Oh, okay.
Final question. How is it working with your brother? How big are the fights when the fights happen?
It's surprisingly mellow.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, by the way, we need to stop asking that question because I've asked a lot of families there, and I think we're the only family that fights. We just
ignore each other when it gets bad.
Okay. We don't fight so much as just have disagreements, but we never agree to disagree, and that's where the problem is. So what's the nuts and bolts? Where can they get the book? What's the Twitter feed?
Well, you can go Twitter. We're at the Sussmans.
Do you guys tweet from the same account?
Yeah, but it's mostly Eli. And go to thesussmanbrothers.com, and it's in Williams Sonoma stores right now, and it'll be in bookstores nationwide, and you can pre-order on Amazon right now, and it'll be available to start shipping in September.
And we can say already, makes a nice holiday gift. I know we're a few months out, but this is...
It's never too early.
It's never too early.
Start thinking about that.
And I have to say, this is also a really good gift for anyone who's listening who has kids going to college.
Definitely.
This is definitely the go-to... So your kid isn't eating frozen pizza all the time, and it's a lot of fun. And then, I don't know, maybe your kid will be a chef, and they'll write their own cookbook, and it's a full circle, right?
Just like a 30-year full circle. All right.
Yeah, send us an email if you... Well, and that's, just in case you guys know, it's Sussman for Sussman. Well, Max, we will let you get back to the line. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And just real quick, on September 9th, we're doing a big old jam hang support thing for Heritage Radio Network. Right here in the garden. It's going to feature food from Gramercy Tavern, Back 40 West, Inside Park, Seated Table. Beverages will be Cane 5 Vineyards, and some mezcal. Bunch of raffles from Anarchy in a Jar, who's just on Kathy's show. And I imagine Roberta's will have some food there as well. September 9th, go to heritageradionetwork.org for all the details and for tickets. And thank you so much.
To have the beat inside her breast, she devoted her life to being the best. She helped all of those in need. She gave away everything, but she couldn't give away the beast. She found love. she found her help. She broke down walls, she was a champion, a beacon of society. But in her breath still runs a beast, and she couldn't give away the beast. Sometimes she would drink, and the beast would say nasty things, quivering wild and ready to leave. The beast was waiting to break free.
I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
Thank you.
Sensations Fix. It's hard to believe that all five of those songs are from one artist.
It makes it it's diversity. It's great.
Well, I mean, also, I feel like you know, a lot of the bands these days have like a signature sound, and I don't know if you could peg any one signature sound to that. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Yo.
From RVNG. Do I say that right? Revenge?
Whatever you want, man. That works, though.
Okay. I always liked it that way.
Yeah.
I felt like the all caps like make you want to state each letter. You guys want to scoot up to
Do you have to microphone? Say it loudly since it's all in caps?
Yeah, you definitely have to. I'm not going to blow out your limiters right
Revenge!
Now.
Revenge! Revenge!
We will come for you. Do you want to introduce who your guests of guests are?
Oh, we got guests of a guest?
My GOGs, my GOGs are my GOGs are right here. This is Josh and Jamin.
What's up, guys?
What's up, GOG?
Okay, just move the microphone a little bit.
Yeah. So we have Franco MIA in the city. Which is cool.
Yeah, so you did a little introduction. I mean, you mentioned that there was going to be...
Yeah,
we usually
keep hope right until the moment.
I still have some hope.
I mean, we still have 18 minutes to make this happen.
He may come.
He may come, but if not, he's playing tonight, which we'll get to in a little bit. But first off, I always love anything you send to me from your label, because I know it's going to be weird and different and interesting and, like, just from a pure audio standpoint, like... Very unique.
Sick.
So how did you happen to join up with Sensations Fix and Franco and maybe give a little background story on who he is and where he comes from?
Well, yeah, maybe who he is and where he comes from is the best place to start. He essentially, Sensations Fix is Franco Falsini. And it kind of originated between Alexandria, Virginia, and Florence, Italy. He was kind of like a born and raised in Florence, Italy. Moved to London, kind of got a tradition of like space, blues, rock going. Had some early jams happening, you know, in London, and then back down to Italy. And then eventually moved to Alexandria, where I guess Sensations Fix really took its cosmic form of all places in a basement in Alexandria, Virginia. Franco's, like I said, like kind of the principal songwriter, and Sensations Fix was, you know, most of what they accomplished in a very DIY manner in their basement with a four track. With a early version of a mini Moog, and you know, from these basement scenarios, Franco and you know, some oft collaborators, you know, created these massive cosmoses of sound, and that's kind of like what the catalog of Sensations Fix is between 1974 and 1978. Are these recordings that were made mostly in a basement kind of scenario between in Alexandria and Florence. I mean, it sounds, I think they often get lumped into progressive rock, you know, but you know, it, by virtue of these recordings, it's a little bit more, delicate and personal. And I think that's what attracted me in the beginning.
So how did you come across this?
Well, Josh and I worked together at RVNG.
Revenge!
And, you know, it was... Sensation 6 was a pretty common workplace soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And you were at a party.
There was a gathering at our old place in Williamsburg. And we had several friends over and... a guest of a guest actually identified some Sensations Fix while I was playing in the background and informed me that, being from Virginia, he knew somebody who knew Franco's son.
Are we, is that 6 degrees? I think so, right? We're under six, right?
Under six.
Fix degrees.
Can I finish?
Yeah, sorry. Darren, come on.
Anyway, he told me that his son was... basically just telling people that there were reels of, I guess, various Fix jams or all sorts of recordings sitting in an attic, I think, in Virginia. Not a basement, an attic. And apparently no one knew what to do with them. And then I said, well, I kind of know what to do with them. And then I told Matt. And we... Did the do. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How much stuff did it actually turn out to be that was... I mean, what was the archive like?
Literally, like, crates and crates full of tapes that he and his son, Jayon, kind of restored. They, you know, baked them and cleaned them and then started this really exhaustive process of transferring and remixing
with all a lot of enthusiasm.
Tons, by the way.
So, I mean, there's 30 tracks on here. How many more were left off?
I don't know. Maybe, like, another 60.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's why this is kind of like a 1974 to 77, because there's just this vast amount of material to go through. This is the first chapter.
Okay. So there's definitely plans for more.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a couple more tracks. Slow Motion Movie and then Cold Nose Part 3 Movement 5. And then we'll come back and talk about the release and how this works into the RVNG world.
The family.
The family. And, you know, I still have hope. 13 minutes of hope.
Franco.
Franco. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. This is Sensations Fix.
Is that the outro track of the whole thing?
No, that's just like a middle.
Hell no.
No, that's a movement.
Can you send that to me?
I just got it today. Well, I didn't just get it today, but I got it today.
You didn't answer my question.
No, I can't. There's only one download code.
I can send it to you.
Hey, thanks, guy. Not my brother.
So let's talk about, the tracks were found, you got the brother, and then what is the process of getting it from those things?
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
It's usually like you find those in an attic long after the artist has I don't know, perished, if you
left
will.
Left this world.
And so it's so exciting to find the stuff and to put them, to get to get him out on the road and to play this amazing stuff from decades ago.
Yeah, I mean, he has, like, he's a free spirit, though. Like, he...
Oh, I'm well aware of his yeah. free spiritness.
We got 9 minutes on that free spirit.
Yeah.
He usually takes 3 minutes to be, like, totally free. But, I mean, he, you know, like, this isn't... his traveling throughout the U.S. isn't really a part of, like, you know, a promotional plan for the album. He's here on his own volition. Like, it's good timing with his album happening. But he's been making music since... you know, these recordings were made in the mid-70s, and he'll continue to, like, he has this infinite you know, desire to be free.
And this isn't a past life for him, and he's still doing
yeah
this, you know, it's a continuation whatever he's doing, so.
Right, and this is like a just more like a an update for new fans or for people who are hard to come by recordings. I mean, was any of this stuff out before in some form or another?
Oh yeah, like, he was on Polydor Records, like, throughout all this oh. time. So yeah,
awesome,
totally.
And are you guys working with them at all, or is there just, they're sort of just like, cool, you got this stuff, we're doing this stuff?
Didn't no. even ask them.
Boom.
Persona non grata.
Because Polydor is like Polydor, it's not revenge.
Yeah, exactly. Come after me.
Yeah.
Polydorks.
Oh, burn.
We're like a pretty softball show. We don't appreciate insults like that.
But so that's great. So he's, I mean, and it also must be amazing to work with somebody who is significantly older than you and your gogs, if you will.
Yeah, totally.
And
he's
totally,
though. I mean, he's ageless.
Is yeah, but what sort of insight, what sort of things have you learned from him? What is he, what type of food, does he make Italian food for you guys?
He has made pasta. Oh, yeah? Yeah, he has.
Is it good from scratch? We're talking.
I didn't eat it.
Oh.
Oh.
I wasn't hungry. It wasn't personal.
It wasn't personal. I just
smelled good. Looked good.
Don't know if it tastes good.
Had already eaten before.
Yeah.
So for regular doesn't matter, I was curious because your label is so just like, it's so much its own thing. Like, when you do something that's like, what is, you know, what is the goal of this? Is it just to expose more people? Is it to put them on tour? Is it to, you know, do a compilation of all of the decades? Or, you know, what do you see from wanting to do something like this?
I mean, yeah, probably the first, it's like an exposure mechanism to, like, worlds that existed before, you know, like, that maybe people know or should know, you know. So yeah, I mean, there's not like a militant stance. There's definitely no format for like a, you know, traditional like album, like music campaign around any of these releases, so it just it is what it would feels good, you know.
And what, so he, and he's playing tonight?
Yeah,
details.
Playing tonight at,
Josh is backing him up.
That's right.
Apparently the internet told us that we were supporting him tonight.
Oh, in what way are you supporting him?
Well, I think Jamin, who is just in the room but is now scanning the premises for Franco,
yeah,
he'll be on a V drum kit, and I have 2 pedals in my traveling bag with me, and luckily a friend of mine has the same guitar that I do and one of the same pedals, so I can play.
Awesome.
With Franco.
Beautiful. That's
and where's the show?
Body Actualized, which is in the neighborhood. It's like literally like 3 blocks away.
Oh, it's that place 2 blocks over.
It's
that yoga studio
a little bit further. Not that yoga studio.
Oh, another one. The yeah. other yoga studio.
Wow.
And not the other one, but the
on
other
Troutman Street.
On Troutman Street. Okay, yeah. And if you wanted to find details for tonight, where could you go?
Probably bodyactualized.com, I'd assume.
The Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. Totally. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to take one more song, Alex, Map, from the Sensation Fix compilation. And this comes out in September.
September 25th.
Can you pre-order it?
Yeah, absolutely. Online.
Where do they go for pre-order?
I get RVNG.
Revenge!
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to one half of the Salesman Brothers.
I know that guy is a waiter here, but every time I just see the outline of the hair and the beard, I'm like,
yeah.
Italian? Oh, and one more thing. When you and I were emailing, you referred to Franco as a certain type of legend.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like making it like an understandable legend, a Cosmiche. He's, you know, although he was making music in Italy, there was a lot of overlap to German Cosmiche music, which was kind of like the ambient groundwork that inspired so much.
It's amazing. More. Anyway, I had never heard that term before, and I thought it'd be fun to share it.
Yeah, man.
So we're going to play one more song called Map. Hopefully you all can make it out to the show tonight, and please make sure to pre-order the record. It's pretty amazing.
And next week, we're going to have Gwinnett Street, who will be cooking for our barbecue on August 15th. At Good Company, we will be celebrating 5 years.
5 years of backyard
barbecue. Of the barbecue blowout.
And Erica.
And Computer Magic will be DJing.
Yeah, and Erica Spring from Avar Simone will be playing live to support her new EP. So it'll be a good episode.
Next week. Love Erica.
So do I.
She's an Avar Simone. You can check out their episode and many others on our podcast on iTunes. To search Snacky. That's Snack with a Y. Tunes. We are Darren and Greg Bresnitz. Shout out to our parents. Thank you for all the support. We love you very much. To everybody's parents. Here we
definitely
go.
Definitely parents.
Yes.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.